It was an absolutely gruesome scene when my once ex-brother-in-law, driving down the road, well, engages a car off the road by the side of a large tree. Children in it were yelling and screaming and crying. As he approached the car, the one child continued to cry out that his mother's head was off. Yeah, it's a gruesome story, but it's absolutely true. A dear lady driving home in thick, dark fog could not see. She rolls down the window and puts her head outside the window so that she can try to see better through the fog. Driving her car, she had forgotten where the, well, that's a sharp right curve, then a sharp left curve. She missed the curve. She plowed into an old, big, thick tree, her head hitting the window frame of that driver's side window and knocked the cap of her head off. And of course she died. It was many hours later that my brother-in-law, ex-brother-in-law, came by and saw this gruesome picture. Children crying. Of course, law enforcement and emergency trucks and all the rest were called, but it was way too late. This was a very tragic story, and when he told me about it and showed me the tree, and I saw where the car had run into the tree, you can see where it tore off part of the bark of this massive, massive tree. Every time I have driven past that tree, around that corner, I have thought about the same thing again and again and again, about a lady and about a little child crying out saying that his mother's head is off. Just a dear mom trying to get home, but the thick fog did not enable her and covered over reality. It covered over the reality of the curve, of the danger, of the absolute impending danger. Well, I'm going to talk about impending danger for Europe, Europa, the European Union, belly of the beast, and the rise of Homo Satanas. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Shatter the Darkness live tonight, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Coming out of a small little town in Ohio, United States of America. Welcome to all the satellite listeners everywhere. Listen, internet radio brought us now in the world. Welcome to those local listeners in Nevada, and then to those who download. Notice that as our message went out to the Russians on Monday and to the Chinese on Tuesday, that hundreds and hundreds of downloads of the archives and of those listening to those particular specially designed messages. So I want to say welcome to anyone from the Russian Federation, from China, and just again say that we pray for the message, we pray for your lives, and we bless you in the name of Christ. We come now to deal with the European Union. Listen, we only got about 55 minutes, and we're dealing with a, well, some have called it the United States of Europe. Some have called it Europa. Others, simply the European Union. Now, 27 nations are connected, and the development for the European Union on the outside, well, it seems good in the sense of uniting, to unite against war, to unite against evil and crime and things like that, to unite to bring great benefit to nations and to, well, work together, things, so many things that the European Union would seem to want to bring about. And it is, it's not the good that's intended in any nation, in any group of people, but it still have to, we still have to deal with the realities that engage humanity. And I'm going to say again that for all of us, the great issue is a spiritual war that seeks to blind the hearts and minds of God, well, the people of God and people in general. There is this God of this age, small g. And this is the theological revelation. It is something that absolutely impacts the globe and billions of people. It absolutely impacts. Listen, when we talk about this blinding by the God of this age, the European Union, as any nation and any group of nations, need to understand the reality of human life, the reality of the fall of the human race, the reality of, the nature of man and the spiritual battle that goes on and the agenda that is rising. Because it bleeds into the ideologies of governing, of economics, of law, and of so many other things. Well, we're going to look into all these things tonight here in a few moments. And I want to say welcome to all those friends that we have in Germany and France and Spain and Italy and so many of the countries of this European Union. I mean, we want to thank those who have sent us letters and packets of information from Europe. And for those who have emailed and those who have contacted us, I want to welcome all of you especially and let you know that we put up the prayers tonight. But as we did this, and I want you to know that there is a compelling, an urgency about doing these series. This week, the theme for the week is Every Nation, Every Tribe, and Every Language. It deals with the 3,000-year-old prophecy out of Psalm chapter 2, in which God engages the rulers of the world, the nations of the world, and the peoples of the world as they continue to be drawn into a raging conspiracy that leads them to the point of standing against God and against the Messiah. That is part of a revelation of a spiritual war that is and has been going on and is coming to the pinnacle. And that pinnacle means that there is a move for a unifying of the nations, a drawing together of the nations, a development in government, a development in law, a development in economics and money, and a development in the environmental causes and the issues of war. And the spiritual presence behind that movement is the exact same spiritual presence that was behind the development of old Nazism. The occult revelations, the New Age revelations, the spiritual revelation that comes from the New Age movement, that comes from old occultism, that comes from the old Masons, that had bled into the development of political ideology. And if anybody understands this, it will be the dear German people. If anybody understands this, it's Europe, where even in that underbelly there is old black flame Nazis, some still alive, some still hoping. The dream for a 1,000-year Reich, a rule, the dream for a master race. Well, in the end of the 40s and into the 50s, that thing spread, and it was underground for 50 years, but it has surfaced, and the belly of this beast is, well, it is in Europe. It has become global. It is beneath the surface of the waters, this presence, this regime, Antichrist and the false prophet. Well, in my opinion anyway, they're probably already born alive, being prepared, operative, but not yet unveiled. And the regime, not yet unveiled, but bled into many nations of the world, if not a global grasp. But the belly of this, beast is in Europe. And that's what we're going to look at today. Let me, by the way, I'm looking at an article that I pulled up quickly because I saw the letters EU. And well, dealing with this all yesterday and today, and looking over the history of and activities of and the Constitution and, you know, all the things concerning the European Union and its governance and its engagement with technology and science and education and so on and so on. Well, when I saw the letters EU, I clicked on a brand new article news article, AP, Associated Press. And this is just a couple of hours ago. And here's the title, EU Police. That is, the European Police. The EU Police seek facts in the Kosovo organ probe. Now, this is in Kosovo. European Union Police in Kosovo on Wednesday asked for hard facts to back up claims made by an investigator that civilian detainees of the Kosovo Liberation Army were shot to death in order to sell their kidneys on the black market. You know, I get stories, and I've seen old movies on those who've hunted down the great elephants in South Africa just to get the tusks. All about the ivory and leaving the massive, beautiful carcasses there to rot in the hot sun. It's really something what we have done in a fallen world and what we're willing to do. Now, the issue of organized crime and the selling of body parts, well, that is a, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. In the United States, in Russia, throughout Europe, there's a black market for this issue also, as there is a black market for babies, a black market for many things, and this criminal element is said to have operated. And here's what it goes on to say. The Council of Europe investigator Dick Marty rocked Kosovo with his report released Tuesday that also suggested that Prime Minister Hashim Thaçi was once the boss of a criminal underworld behind the alleged grisly trade. Pretty amazing to me again. What human beings will do. Now, this is connected with the European Union, and this is one report. We can give a thousand others concerning crime and evil all over the world. But I want to bring up in this context here the issue of what's deep, deep in the belly of old Europe. Maybe just barely under the surface of the deep right now. And we're going to talk about four things. And an issue of a spiritual fog. So we begin tonight by saying again, blessings. In the name of Jesus Christ, blessings to brothers and sisters in Christ all over Europe. And I would ask that all believers in Christ put up their prayers. And we ask that God will bring great engagement. Historically, there have been great powerful movements of God throughout Europe, and there has been great unleash of the gospel in all of Europe. There is the best of times. There is also the worst of times. Let's stop for a moment. Let me mention, we'd love to hear from you if you would email us at shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Let us know where you are and where you're listening from. I appreciate getting an email here. I believe it was just yesterday. I'll be responding to a Mormon that has written in concerning last week's series we've done on groups that have denied the deity of Christ. And I'll respond to that. And listen, we love to hear from you. Just let us know where you're listening from and give us a shout out maybe from what nation. We're noticing again through this live broadcast and the archives that get downloaded within the next number of weeks, we're seeing friends from, well over 80 countries just from this alone downloading. And so we're glad to be there with you and to be in those nations. Once again, I will say a simple special hello to the Russians and to those in China that have listened in the last couple of days and that will be. And we just encourage you to spread the MP3, the message along. as we would ask those in Europe. Now, when I think of Europe, I'm thinking, you know, Germany, and I'm thinking France, and I'm thinking Italy. I'm thinking some of the prime centerpieces, Spain, of course. And when I think of it, it's kind of tough when you're dealing with nations. You see, when I look at the biblical revelation, and I see that in the end, and we read this out of the book of Revelation, that God has saved people from every nation and every tribe and every language, every people group all over the world. In the end, the gospel of God, the good news, and the gift of salvation will be evidenced in the lives of hundreds of millions upon hundreds of millions. Every nation, every tribe, every language, and all the peoples. And so that's on the front of our webpage that we simply refer to the human race, every single precious soul. See, I begin with the fact of creation. God made us, that we were specially made, and we were made to bear the image of God, the Imago Dei. And then it was awesome in the beginning. Of course, the fall, sin, Satan, darkness, and all the corruption that has come in since. But I still, in the midst of even the story of the black market of killing human beings and taking their kidneys and selling them for thousands, yes, it's an unbelievable evil. I had a very close friend. It was an incredible shakeup. In a car accident, we had to drive to another state to see him. He's in a coma. And after all that was done, the bottom line was there that he was going to die. And that his family had written the allowability for them to take organs. And let me tell you something. They took from his eyes and kidney, a number of areas on his body. I was the one that did part of the funeral for this young man, and it was really tough. Packed out funeral home, and we were there and obviously observing him in the casket. You couldn't see anything missing. But it was also mentioned that night, and the doctors had told all of us, that seven other lives, some saved, some that could see again, because of the organ donation that was taken from his body. Now, I don't know what you believe about that issue, but I was invited later to come to a meeting where some of those people who were the recipients of the organs of this dear friend, they were going to be at a meeting to say thank you to the family. So there can be something good, but on the other hand, we see the horrible, the worst of humanity. And that's part of point one tonight. The long history of Europe, the long history of those nations. So I begin by saying that God loves Europe. God loves Germany. God loves Italy. God loves Spain. God loves France. And on and on and on to the 27 nation members that make up the EU. That in that while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Romans chapter 5, Christ died for us. That it was the motivation of the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son. Now, this is the issue that when we approach nations, well, even as I approached a young man today, at a restaurant with my wife, I felt urged. I literally did. And, you know, we're all to be witnesses, but here I felt again and again, I could not leave until I talked to this young man. Now, I listened to him talk once as he came by. He gave us our ticket, of course, and we paid that. And after it was all done, he was coming by as we were leaving. I stopped him. And I said, "Where are you from? Are you from New York?" He says, "Ah, no, I'm from New Jersey." And I said, "I could tell by, you know, the accent." And he smiled. And I said, "I know you don't know me. But I really felt prompted to ask you where you were spiritually, and do you have a church background, and do you know Jesus? And, you know, right away he began to mention his dad, and his dad does, and yes, he was shaking his head, and of course we are right in the middle of everybody, and he was walking through, his employers were there, we couldn't say much, and I told him I wanted to talk to him again. But I even felt something about this, I turned around, and I already gave a tip, a good tip to him, but I really felt I had to. I turned around, and I pulled out a $20 bill and threw it in there, and something about the need in his life. So I told my wife on the way home, I've got to buy a Bible, got to get some, you know, materials. I'm going to go back and re-talk to this guy again. But I want you to know that it's individual. I want you to know that the Spirit of God, in the midst of eating lunch with my wife, really prompted me for this young man. There's an urgent need there somewhere. I don't know what it is yet, but there was something there. There had to be a witness that began, and it begun. It began. It really did, right there in that standing up few moments that we had. But I want Europe to hear. I want the nations to hear. And it's kind of hard to say European Union, because that is the title of 27 member nations. It would be easier for me to say God's blessing and God's love to Germany, to Italy, to France, to Spain, and on and on and on and on. Because again, the fact that God commands the Great Commission to all the nations of the world, that Romans chapter 16, as we said, verse 25 down, based on biblical prophecy, the gospel, and the command of the eternal God, that all nations, God is interested in your nation. Though there are those that really believe in uniting all the nations and see the European Union as a platform for globalism in the future, though there are good ideas, the issue is, what is the ultimate ideology? What is the ultimate goal here behind this uniting of nations? Let me tell you what, God loves nations. God loves the people of Italy. God loves the people of France. God loves the people of Spain, and on and on. And the gospel that we talk about in these messages, we must understand that Jesus literally died for all of Spain, all of Germany, all of France, all of Italy. And so as you listen to me right now, that's the motivation behind targeting, well, the European Union, so that in the midst of that, I can speak to you of those nations. Now, I won't be able to have the time tonight to go over every single nation of the, well, 27-member EU. But I will bring out some things that I think are vital. And I do believe that God brings a word, and one of the great urgent words. And I want to say this to all believers. Anybody can look it up. In the book of Colossians, in the Bible, the book of Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, where God tells all Christians to devote themselves to prayer, but to also watch, being watchful. Now that word, hold on to it a moment, watch. We go over to 1 Peter chapter 5 when Peter's being led by the Spirit of God to write. And he says to the believers to be self, you know, controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, he's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now that word alert there is the same word in Colossians, watch. That little Greek word has the idea of looking for the impending danger. And God tells believers to be at the cutting edge spiritually, to be devoted to prayer, and in the context of praying for the lost, praying for the advance of the cause of God, praying for the people to be saved, to be healed, to be delivered, to be blessed by God. That we are in the context of that good message and good work of the kingdom of God. We are to be watchful. We are to be alert. We are to be aware of the impending danger, a real danger, a real danger that led one third of the angels to fall from God, that led the human race to fall, that infected the human race and death is here, and sin is here, and rape and war and killing people just for their kidneys. So please, let us understand that in the context of Europe not wanting to go to war, where all these long, hard wars have been fought for hundreds of years, and everybody still remembers the voice of Adolf Hitler, everybody still remembers the Nazi machine, everybody still remembers World War II and Auschwitz and Dachau, and everyone still remembers. So there's a clamoring. On the one hand, a selling out for peace. I mean, we want peace, whatever it takes. Even if that means silencing God. Even if the ideology, politically, law, militarily, economically, environmentally, even if that means in the ideologies that are developed that are clamoring to suppress any information about God, about Christ, about salvation, then so be it for the sake of peace. And there is the concept of selling your soul. Jesus once said, Europe, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Let's say it again. Jesus places the value of your soul, your life, as a higher value than the sum total of all the goods of all the world. What would it profit a man, a woman, if they would gain the whole world, yet lose their very own soul? That is a possibility, my friends. So friends in Europe, friends there in Italy, and those of you in Greece, and those of you in Spain, and those of you in France, and on, all of you connected to the European Union, to the officials, to the leaders, let's ask the question. In your drive for peace, that's fine. But it's the ideology. It's the issue of a $800 billion budget. That's right, 27 nations, $800 billion to back the European Union, its council, all of its development, all of what it's doing. Now, I have been reading the Constitution, I've been reading many other things, and I can go to a page here, and I'm going to bring out to you, when doing just a simple search, unbelievable numbers, over 9 million hits. Articles concerning the EU connected to the New World Order. Let me mention the four things as we go on here, because in the context of the European Union, many prophecy teachers out of the 70s began to talk about the earlier 10 nations gathering together being very similar to prophecies in Daniel, prophecies in Revelation, developing as the platform for the Antichrist and globalism, that is, Luciferic globalism. Let me explain something. What do I mean by Luciferic globalism? I mean, globalism has to have political ideology. Ideology behind its laws. Ideology behind its economics, environmental stance. I mean, literally, you cannot have any kind of governing body, any kind of unified group of nations without some kind of agreement. And there are treaties that have been signed by these nations, treaties that involve whether or not you will allow the word God or the word Christian in the writings, the Constitution, and the literature of the UN. I mean, that has come up. There are many that are said to be Christians among the EU all over. Roman Catholics and Protestants and on and on and on and on. But here's the issue. If you understand biblical prophetic revelation, that God has said that not only is there a real dark entity, Satan, Lucifer, the fallen cherub, whatever you want to call him, not only is he present in the world and his nature is evil, he's the father of lies and a murderer, operative at the crucifixion of Christ, operative in the context of evangelism. This dark presence and the realm of demons, they do not want the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to be unleashed and free to all and spoken so every ear and every heart and every life can hear and respond to the summons of God to come home, to be repaired, to be rescued, to be loved, to be forgiven, to be saved, to be given the gift of eternal life. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a spiritual battle over that very issue. Satan comes to steal the word of God. Satan comes to stop individuals that would bring the gospel. And that can be done through the development of ideologies in government and law enforcement then, and military and economic pressures. In the development of all of those, if it includes then ousting God, ousting Christ, it becomes an aid and it does abed. Psalm chapter 2 and the prophecy where God calls the leaders of Germany and France and Spain and Italy and the 27 member nations. God summons and calls the kings, the leaders, the military leaders, and engages asking why you would even consider joining together in a global political, economic, military. Why would you even desire to gather together if that cause means to make your stand against God and against Christ? Now, I would ask, if there are those in the EU, if there are those who know how to unleash this MP3 or send a CD to those in leadership, if by God's sovereign providence there would be leaders that would hear the urgency of the hour is asking whether or not in the development of the EU, in the constitution, in the laws, in the political and economic ideologies, is God ousted? Is God voted out? Is the name Christian voted out? Is the cross, is Christ voted out? It claims to be a secular body, but dealing with millions of people, some say up to 500 million people are represented by the EU. 27 nations, 500 million people, much bigger than the United States. And the fact that God so loves those 500 million, God's will is the gospel to get to those 500 million. God's will is to embrace and to save, and God's summons. As I said on Monday to the Russians and on Tuesday to those in China, there's a picture 2,000 years ago of the Apostle Paul. Well, he is at the Areopagus. The Epicurean and Stoic philosophers and many other intellectuals were around listening to all the ideas. And so Paul comes to preach, starting with creation, bringing it all the way down to the cross and what was done there when Christ gave his life for the sum total of humanity. And in the context of that message that was done then and is still operative now is this clear revelation that God right now summons all people everywhere. God summons the Germans. God summons the French and all across Europe. And I want you to know that for the believers throughout Europe, that the same fresh, compassionate, love-filled, compelling, Holy Spirit-guided call, irregardless, regardless of all of the veneer of intellectualism and hardness and New Ageism and everything else, God still wants that message to come. Let me say four things here tonight as we're going on. 25 minutes tonight on the 15th of December, Wednesday night, 2010. For those new listening to this, this is Russ Dizdar. Dizdar. My grandparents came from Dalmatia, Croatia, old Yugoslavia. Right there in the center of all of it, right there among the Slavic people where wars, Second World War, where wars began, man, where wars begin. So I'm reading an article of the UN police concerning black market kidneys in Kosovo. And so there's Croatia, there's Serbia, there's Yugoslavia. I sat with my grandmother the day that I led her to Jesus Christ. Yeah, she came over on a boat, 1919, Ellis Island. She learned English right away. She taught English to the others. My grandmother and grandfather ran the Croatian Club in Akron, Ohio for years and years. The backdrop of my family, we didn't go to church. My grandfather had a Roman Catholic background. My grandmother had none. Dizdar. Many Dizdars throughout old Yugoslavia, around the world now, filmmakers and singers. I wonder whether by God's providence even this message would come to you. Because there in that belly and cradle of wars and world wars, of ethnic cleansings, of sons and fathers by the hundreds and hundreds that were shot and buried, and corn was planted, and crops of corn grew over the dead bodies. And like Cain in the Old Testament, the blood cries out. The blood all through Europe, the bloodshed of world wars, the bloodshed of many years prior, clamoring of swords and horsemen, old crusades. It's been a bloody mess. So number one, the point tonight is, number one, there could be the best of things. I mean, some of the best of things. And the lands that we're talking about, the precious people we're talking about, and the languages, and the culture, and the art. And when there was an openness to the gospel, and there was Reformation, and there was a preaching of Christ where hard lives could turn to a Savior that was compassionate and that could save and deliver. But on the other side of that, we have the worst. It's kind of like the beginning of that one book, The Best and the Worst. That's how it is right now. There's people living the best in Europe. On the heels of the past, of the worst, of the saber-rattling of the possibilities of it occurring again. I mean, you can go there to Europe. You can go to visit the old camps, Auschwitz and Dachau and others. You can pull out a Nazi flag and wave it in places in France and places in around Europe and watch, on the one hand, the massive outrage, but notice that there's an underbelly. That's right, the skinheads and the development of the Aryans, they continue here in the United States and all across Europe. And the goal, that ideology of a coming Führer, of a coming world new order. Now, the reason I mentioned that, and let me give you point number two, is what everyone has to watch out for, what that issue of impending danger. Well, it's point number two. The European order being a platform for new world order and globalism. When I say Luciferic globalism, I mean this. The kind of globalism that has all the political ideology, all the economic ideology and rule, and all the military vision and development, all of that developing, but the ideology written in comes from occult revelation, comes from spirits of the New Age, comes from spiritually led writers like Bailey and Blavatsky and many others. When I listen today on YouTube videos of leaders of the EU, when I listen to the leaders of the EU speak about the need for a new order, a new governance worldwide, a new economic worldwide governance, the euro and the goal again and the call again, article after article after article after article. Here's some of the titles. The idea of New World Order, a conspiracy theory, and its connection with European Union. The EU Constitution, blueprint for the New World Order, quote unquote. Quote again, signs of a New World Order, China speaks, the EU listens, unquote. Once again, can Europe and China shape a new world? Once again, the European Union and a New World Order, Whole Truth Coalition, the European Union in prophecy. Now here's the issue. Biblical prophecy tells us that a united world, that a global governance, that a global political system will rise. It is declared out of the book of Daniel 2,600 years ago. Jesus warned about the cataclysmic and chaotic events that will lead up to that, Matthew 24. But it's the book of Revelation, and specifically in Revelation 12, where there is a revelation, and the scripture uses the term, a huge dragon. Now that is a picture, and God gives a picture representing a huge issue, a dark spiritual presence, the full force of a dark spiritual presence, coming to its final pinnacle of manifestation into this world. Now you read Revelation 12 and you're going to see that even the Antichrist himself and the rise of Antichrist and a regime, a new world order, a globalist order, a political, military, economic system that will rise out of the ashes of a great anarchy and chaos that will occur all through Europe, all through the United States, all around the world. It's going to occur here sooner or later. But out of that chaos and out of those ashes, well, as some, they think the phoenix will rise. That a new order will rise. A new order with new law and new economics and new military and with a whole new spiritual empowerment. Luciferic globalism. Now listen, if you didn't know, the biblical revelation concerning satanic cause, the satanic presence. Yes, to blind minds so they can't see the gospel. Yes, to bring lies and deceit and spiritual counterfeits. Yes, to steal you from knowing God and keep you from the gift of salvation. Yes. But there's an agenda to develop a global New World Order. There's the agenda to come and in a counterfeit conception and counterfeit incarnation bring about Homo Satanas, bring about Satan in human skin. And this will be the leader of the New World Order. This will be the inseparable ruler of the New World Order with a New World Order politic, New World Order law, New World Order economic system, New World Order military system. A New World Order ideology that says no to God, no to Christ, no to the Bible, and yes to everything spiritually that runs counter to that, thus bringing fulfillment to Psalm chapter 2. The kings of the earth, the nations, and the peoples. On the side of God, there is an agenda to redeem, to save, to give the gift of eternal life. Christ will come back as the Prince of Peace, and he will bring a healing to all the nations, and he will bring an end to war completely, and he will bring equity and justice that comes from the infinite God, infinite wisdom, infinite ability. But prior to that, prior to Christ's return, is an Antichrist. Point number two tonight that I'm sharing with all those in Europe, all those connected in this EU, in this platform that makes way for this Luciferic globalism. Strange that even as I go over this message today, a helicopter flies over my home where I can feel the vibrations of the blades. I don't know if you can hear it through the microphone. It happened Monday night also as I was doing a message to the Russians. We'll see how it goes the rest of the week. But let me give you what I think is the impending danger. Biblical prophecy reveals that a secret power of lawlessness, that a real political, economic regime will develop as a shadow government. Spoken about in Daniel 2,600 years ago, and about 2,000 years ago, Revelation 12. You will read Revelation 12 about a dragon and about the heads and crowns. And when you take the time to study, you're dealing with the revelation that the Antichrist, called the beast, he's called a Theron, counterfeit incarnation, counterfeit conception, Satan in human skin. If Europe hears the voice of Adolf Hitler, listen, I've listened to Adolf Hitler in so many videos, so many documentaries, so many times that the moment I hear that voice, I don't have to look at the screen. If I hear the voice, I know who it is. And let me say to all of Europe, the voice of an ancient hate, it's coming. And the center of that rule will be Europe. With the goal of a united Europe, uniting the rest of the world, point number three tonight, there is a spiritual fog over Europe. There is a thick, dark, old, occult-oriented spiritual fog. On the one hand, that spiritual fog is meant to suppress the real body of Christ. Whether believers understand it or not, they can be suppressed, held back, held down. You can feel a deep, dark oppression. As a matter of fact, as I've said again and again and again, and I will specifically say this for all of the European Union nations, you can feel in the air a chaos, a cataclysm coming. And with all of the design for peace, and as Alvin Toffler said in his book, The Futurologist, you know, The Third Wave, that there is within the structure of Europe, because of the blood and the guts and the wars and the division, because of the human waste and the destruction, Alvin Toffler, the futurist, says there is within all of Europe a Messiah complex. A Messiah complex. A desire for a powerful leader to come and bring unity and to bring a oneness. And I'm going to tell you that biblical prophecy tells you about a counterfeit that is coming. That the real Prince of Peace, spoken about 700 years before he came the first time, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is called Emmanuel. A virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. You can read about it in Isaiah chapter 7. You can read about in Isaiah 9 the prophecy concerning that a child would be born. A child would be born who would be called Wonderful Counselor. Gabor El, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And there, for the sake of every German, every Italian, everyone in France and Spain and so on, every one of you listening, that child was born for you. That child was God in human flesh, Emmanuel. That child was born Savior of the world, sinless, unlike anyone else. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He supplied food. He spoke the words of God, fulfilling 300 or more prophecies of the Old Testament. He went to the cross. There he shed blood. There he was killed by the violence of sinful humanity and of the orchestration of satanic presence behind the scenes. Satan did enter Judas to betray the Son of God. A combination of Satan's attempt to get rid of God, of sin's capacity to receive the satanic agenda, and of God's overwhelming agenda to bring the sinless Christ to the cross for you. God so loved the world, Jesus Christ was given for you. All of you in the European Union, every one of you in Germany, every one of you in France, every one of you in Italy, every one of you in Spain, every one of you in the 27 member nations. Prior to the return of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who will bring an end to all war for all time, an end to the economic injustice, who's going to bring a healing of the nations and a healing of the earth. Prior to that return of Christ, a counterfeit who may have already been born, and in my opinion already exists, in the underbelly. There in the underbelly of old bloodline occult systems. The real and dark and deep Luciferians. The ones that have done the rituals. The ones that have been developing the master race. The ones that have been plotting and planning for a great chaos and a great anarchy, inspiring war and collapse, because they have built behind the scenes a regime. They have built behind the scenes a new regime. It already has its governmental ideology, its political ideology, its military ideology, its economic ideology. Revelation 12 talks about a big, massive, multinational system that is a satanic regime hiding in the shadows, waiting for the collapse so that it can rise like the phoenix out of the ashes and take control. Now, when that chaos occurs, Australia will experience it, Canada will experience it, the United States will experience it. The United States shall fall, as will all of Europe. And the world will come to the brink of what it thinks is annihilation. Revelation of Scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There will be a great revolt and then the apocalypse of Anthropos Anamos, the man of lawlessness. Revelation 12 pits that man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, inseparably connected to a already developed and prepared globalist regime. They're among us. I'm reading one of these articles about where one of the great researchers of the Bilderberg Group unmasks the Bilderberg Group in the European Union Parliament. That's right. Excuse me. Some of the most secretive ideology, individuals, and groups, well, they're right there. the shadow government that is revealed in Revelation chapter 12. Not yet revealed to the world, of course, but they're in the shadows. So to the European Union, to all the dear individuals listening, to all of you, I bring my prayers. I ask you to open your hearts to listen to the living Christ. The one that came 2,000 years ago provides direct relationship to God, the opening of our hearts and lives to God. The gift of salvation includes indestructible immortality, the gift of eternal life. But it also points to the coming of a Savior, Christ, and a real new day in which the Prince of Peace will heal the nations. No more war, rule with equity. But I'm going to say again, prior to all of that, the greatest deception Europe has ever seen. If you think in terms of the deception of the Nazi ideology and the spiritual presence that was behind the development of the ideology, the military, the science, the psychology, that brought about destruction. If this is what you worry about, if this is what you're concerned about, then may I say that the concern of a counterfeit peace, counterfeit unity, counterfeit political, economic, military system developed by the Luciferic presence with a Luciferic agenda that leads all the way to Armageddon will bring about the greatest destruction of Europe. If you understand biblical prophecy, maybe you haven't read this. Maybe you have not looked at this. Maybe you've sat at a cafe. Maybe you've been at a university. Maybe you're in the politics. And you've not even concerned yourself with the Bible and thinking that it is some ancient book, though it is the most attested to book of all ancient literature. 40 writers, almost 1,600 years, 3 continents, 3 languages, the most powerful spiritual book in human history. It's about God's love, God's salvation, God wants you. It's about a great warning of an impending danger that the rise of the satanic regime will occur and Europe will be sucked in. I'm going to say that the European Union and the spiritual backdrop to all of what is occurring there reminds me of a spiritual thick fog. Like that story about the woman with her children just wanting to get home. The woman with her children just wanting to get home instead of stopping because she could not see. She continued to move forward. The car continued to move forward, so she kept going straight ahead. She could not see. She lost her head. Don't lose your soul. Don't lose your life, Europe. Dear friend, come to Christ. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web.